Very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning to you, my dear listener. Thank you, David. And good morning to you, David, as well. Good morning. And thank you for passing over, handing over the mic to this side of the world, to this part of this part of the world. Well, thanks for joining us. Very good morning to you. And welcome to your favorite talk radio station in the land, and well, could be in the world as well. So thanks for joining us. It's a Friday morning, the 13th of March. So welcome and thanks for joining us at this point in time. And as I always said, we love to be in your company, and thanks for joining us. So yeah, my name is Mike Oshavili. And this is Unpacking the Day. This is your daily dose of what really going on in business news, economic news, and also political news. So, and everything in between. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear. And, well, sometimes a bit witty and always, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and now spark a meaningful conversation where you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your space and this is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you and I welcome you. I welcome you. You are just right on time. So, and where are you listening us from? Welcome. Where are you listening us from? This beautiful land of the brave. Are you listening us from Katima? Listening us from, you know, Far Genoeg? There's a place called Far Genoeg. If you've never been there, please make sure that you visit that. Are you listening us from Far Genoeg? I'm joking. All right. So from Wavish Bay and Swako from the coast, Luderitz. You know, how are you doing in Luderitz? We haven't had you for a while, Luderitz people. So yeah, we're missing you. Yeah. I hope, you're not missing us. Yeah. Luderitz people. Rundu, where are you? And, we used to have some listeners from off this program then, from Opur. Where are you? How are you doing? It's a Friday. I know it's a Friday. Some of us are very, very, very slow when it comes to Friday. Oh, some of us get very excited when it's Friday. All right. Because we already, our heads already on the weekend, they're already on Saturday rather than, you know, you got to be at work. Make sure that your mind and body and soul still at work. You still have to do what you got to do. We have a country to build. And we shouldn't mess around, all right? We should never mess around at all. Welcome. So let's do what we usually do. We normally start with our first segment, and our first segment is looking at, you know, what happened on this day in Africa. So good morning, and good morning, Africa, and welcome to On This Day in Africa. So let's take a journey through history. Starting way back in 1903. Now, on this day, the Great Sokoto Caliphate fell. The Great Sokoto Caliphate actually fell down. Not fell down like it fell, you know. Yeah, it fell. Now, this was not a small thing. It was not a small thing. The Sokoto Caliphate was one of the biggest and most powerful Islamic state in West Africa. So, and it stretches across what we now know as Nigeria, Niger, Cameroon, the other country, Burkina Faso. So, but on this day, its last leader surrendered to the British colonial force. Now, that surrender didn't just end the caliphate. It cemented British colonial rule across the region. So, a turning point, no doubt, definitely. So, yeah. And now, let's fast forward to 1959. On this day, the United Nations made a historic vote. They decided to end the trusteeship over French Cameroon. Now, what does that mean? Well, if we can put it simple, it opened the door for the territory to become its own independent nation. Now, and that's exactly what happened. So the Republic of Cameroon was born from that decision. And moving on to 1961, this was a pivotal moment in South Africa's struggle. Now, on this day, activists from the African National Congress, the ANC, began organizing armed resistance against the apartheid government. For years, they had protested politically, and they have done it peacefully. But this marked a shift. Now, this has marked a shift. A decision that words alone were not enough. So the struggle was now taking a new form, which is actually military resistance. So it started on this day in 1961. In 1976, Mozambique made a bold statement on this day. They officially recognized the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic, also known as the Western Sahara. Mozambique joined several other African nations standing in solidarity with the Western Sahara independence movement. So a gesture of African unity. So, and there you have it. Four powerful moment all on this day in African history. So you have been listening to On This Day in Africa. Here we also have someone said, let's Otapi Town is present and listening. All right. We welcome the Otapi as well. So we know that the Otapi is actually listening. So good to know. All right. So now let's look at what today's the 13th of Friday, Friday the 13th. And what is our thought for the day? So good morning. Good morning, my dear listeners. And here is a thought for the day. Now, there is an old African proverb that says, don't cut off the monkey's tail before it is dead. Don't cut off the monkey's tail before it is dead. Now, this proverb reminds us not to celebrate victory too early and not to act before things are truly finished. Okay? Now, in life, we sometimes rush to conclusion. We think the problem is solved or the deal is done or the challenge is over. But many times the story is not finished yet. Now, the lesson is simple. Be patient, stay focused, and see things through to the end. Because if you celebrate too early or act too quickly, you might discover that the work is not done. So, today's reminder is this. Finish the journey before you celebrate the destination. Finish the journey before you celebrate the destination. So that is the thought for the day. Good morning and welcome. This is Eagle FM. So what do we have on the table on the show this morning, this Friday? All right, let's make it more. No, we focus today. Okay. The other thing is that, no, what I want to say is this, that if you, so if you're looking for, the latest business and economic news, if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of The Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Just do it now so that you get yours on Monday. All right? Make sure that you get your free copy on Monday by doing it, you know, by subscribing right away. And it's for free. It is for free. All right? So make sure that you subscribe. And today we're focusing on some stories that we found in today's edition of The Villager, especially one story that actually make the front page is that the Office of the Auditor General has blamed the Mining Directorate and the Namibia Revenue Agencies for the government's failure to collect adequate revenue from the country's gold mining sector. So we're going to get into that story because it's very, 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 very juicy and interesting. So we're looking at that one. And also, we're also going to look at the story about Rundu. Rundu's rabbit population increases. As the Rundu population increases, that has drastically outpaced its development, which is not only peculiar to Rundu, but we're going to focus on the story that is also in today's edition of The Villager. So that Rundu's rabbit population has drastically outpaced its development, leading now to a crisis in unemployment, a lack of infrastructure, and also essential services. Well, those are the two stories that we will look at. We will also bring you some industrial news, brought to you by the Villager. And also, well, you know this. You know English is gone. All right. So, but your participation will also be part of the show. So you know that. You know the drill. Yeah, no, that's what I wanted to say. You know the drill. Your participation, it's part of this show. So I will be waiting you. Please join me in unpacking the headlines. So we'll come back after this commercial.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupikiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimwepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahe tatuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, omiyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that's right. We are the eye, and we try to bring you everything that we see, okay? We are your eye, all right? So, good morning, Namibia. If you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. And I'll be with you. I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli. And I will be with you until 10 o'clock. By then, by 10 o'clock, I will be handing you over to my colleague in the capital, Tate France, Mbarangaja, who will actually, you know, take you on with Kufa Mosha, around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you are tuned for all our programs coming to you this morning. All right, so today we are talking about our gold. Okay, we're talking about our gold, our national wealth, and how we may have been cheated out of what we deserve. We could have been cheated out of what we deserve. Now, so you have to stay. You have to stay around to know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, so we're following a story. As I said earlier on, we are unpacking a story from today's edition of The Villager, a story by Dwight Lynch. So it's a new report from the office of the Auditor General. And it's painting a troubling picture. Eh? It's really painting a troubling picture of how we, as a nation, have been managing revenue from our gold, mines between 2020 and 2023. So that's the area that we touch. So now, to understand this report, so we have to go back to that period. We have to go back to the period between 2022 and 2023, because it was a tough period. It was a tough period. This was a time of global economic uncertainty. Remember, we have COVID as well around there, but also a time when gold prices were fluctuating. So for our country, for a country like ours, mining is really the backbone of our economy. And when the backbone has cracked, you know, what do you feel? So it's like an earthquake. When there is a crack, you will definitely feel the trauma. How do you call it? The tremor. You will feel the tremor. Okay? So, yeah, when there is that crack, you will definitely feel that that pain or that tremor if it's like an earthquake. Now, all right, gold mining has been part of Namibia's economic story for years, for decades. Our country produces gold from several major operations. We have Nabakhap, you know, near Karibib, you know, the Nabakhap mine near Karibib, and also newer mines like Otjikoto. So, yeah, this operation extract one of the world's most precious metal from our soil. One of the most, you know, precious metal, and it comes from our soil. And in return, what do? So in return, the mining companies pay taxes and royalties to our government. All right? This revenue is now supposed to fund our schools, you know, our hospitals, fill up those potholes that you have in your town, especially the Windhoek one. Yeah, we do have that also in Ongwediva, you know, I think in Ondangwa as well. So, and, you know, and supposed to fund your public services, okay? The service that you get from the government. Now, that is the social contract we have with the government. So, what happens when the system now meant to collect these funds simply does not work? What happened now when the system that was supposed... No, we're already complaining about that we're not adding value. Okay, we're not adding value. So, but this, we're not adding value to our minerals. So, but at least the revenue that we're getting, you know, supposed to help us to do all that. But now what happened now when the system now that meant to collect these funds simply does not working? Well, understand that the Office of Auditor General's performance report is not just a list of numbers. I do tell you that I love numbers, but it's not just a list of numbers. It is an audit of trust. Okay, what I'm saying. Now, it asks, okay? So it asks, did the people responsible for watching our minds do their job? That's what it's asking. Okay? Did they do their job? And the answer, unfortunately, is a resounding nope. Not at all. So that's the answer. And let's unpack now the story. We're going to unpack now this story into three parts. Okay? And let's put it in terms of character. Okay? We're going to pack it into three character, into three person character of a person. Okay? One, we're going to pack it, we're going to look at it at a watchman. One character is a watchman. The other character is a ledger, you know. And then the other character is the collector. Okay? We're going to look at them on those three characters. So, now, the first character in our story is the watchman. And the watchman is the directorate of minds. The directorate of mind is now the directorate. It's the watchman. Now, in any mining operation, the government needs a watchman. You know, someone standing at the gate. Okay. Now, I'm not now talking literally somebody from the government standing at the gate. Okay. Just take the picture, you know, the scenario. So the character. So someone standing at the gate, counting every ounces of gold that comes out. Okay. The ounces of gold that comes out. You know, someone at the gate. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Have also a pen and paper and be able to mark that out. That, okay. It's about 20 ounces of gold. Okay. Now, according now to the Office of Auditor General, the directorate, now our watchmen failed to identify risk in the sector. They failed. Now, let me explain why this is important. Now, risk assessment is like a security camera. You know, it's like a security camera. It helps you spot where things might go wrong before they actually do. Now, without it, you are operating blind. You absolutely operating blind. Now, in plain English, this means that they didn't have a system to spot where. No, not just where, but to spot when a mine might be under-reporting what they were digging up. So they didn't have the system. Now, imagine if you're a farmer, okay? Imagine a farmer who doesn't count his cattle before selling them. He just guesses, okay, I just looking at them and say, oh, well, I think they are 20. You're not counting. You're not counting like 1, 2, 3. Yo, I'm selling you 20 kettles. No, I'm just guessing, you know. It might be 20, all right? You say it might be 20, but it could be 30 or it could be 40, you know. So that's essentially what happened here, eh? Well, in a simple way, that's exactly what happened. So the audit actually found that the directorate did not follow the standard operational procedure, the SOP, for verification. Yeah. They didn't use the basic formula. And do you know what the formula? The formula is very stock. Closing stock is equal to opening stock plus production minus sales. That's the formula. Now, instead of checking the raw data now, you know, the stock record, the sales document, the production logs, you know, those kind of stuff, they relied on the summaries provided by the mine themselves. You remember what I said? I give an example of a farmer who just said, well, he guesses how much, how many, he's selling kettles and he just guesses probably around, there are 20 or so. It's exactly what, now, these watchmen, the character we're looking at, which is the directorate, you know, of mind, So they relied on the summary provided by the mines themselves. They didn't go, they didn't check the raw data themselves. So they took a shortcut. And in doing so, they lost the ability to verify the truth. Now, imagine now, for 3 years, this is where it becomes serious. Now, for 3 years, nobody was systematically watching for potential risk. Okay? For 3 years, that could be someone might have just digging up, much of gold and underreporting, and nobody actually noticed that. And this opened the door to underreporting. Mining companies could potentially report less gold than they actually produced. And there was no mechanism in place to watch or to catch such discrepancies. And in 3 years, there's so much you can do actually within 3 years. Now, think about this for a moment. If the watchman, it doesn't check the actual books, how do we know we haven't been cheated out of our fair share? And that's my question. How do we know we haven't been cheated? For 3 years, that's a long time for someone who's digging every day. How do we know we haven't been cheated out of our fair share? Now, the people we trust to watch these resources for us have failed us. And remember, this is the money. This is where now, tax revenues come from, royalties come from. And what if so much gold was taken out without us knowing about? Because you just look at the summaries that the mine, It's like a guessing farmer who's selling his cattle. Doesn't know how many, just said, oh, I think it's this much. All right. So now think about that. Now, and it's seriously, David says about that. And he talked on this one. He talks about the report comes. It tells you exactly what is happening. And as Namibian, what do? We just keep quiet. We just gone silent. And do you see how serious is that? 3 years. And even now, we don't know what happened. And this happened quite a lot. There's a lot we hear from Tatekanjeke, about the town council, about municipalities, the mismanage of fund, money that has not been accounted for. Do you hear anything at all? Do you hear that now, councillor so-and-so or something like that has been arrested or has been, called for disciplinary hearing and whatever, and this is what happening? Beside the parliamentary committees that goes around sometimes, ask question about from the CEOs and whatever. So, and do you hear anything at all? Or even ACC, maybe to... Now, we all hear that. We can all read it from... We can all read the Auditor's General's report. And you hear that, and some people... And then those are in power, those who should be taking account, those should be taking some of these people on account, take them on. What is the way? How do I put this? Who should the account take them on? Make sure that they are accountable. They just take the report and put it on the shelf, and then waiting for another one next 2 or 3 years later, and nothing happened to people. That's a disease. Eh? That is a disease. a disease that we should be really rooted out in Namibia. Let's go to the other character. This brings us now to the second part of the story, to a second character, the verification of production. Now, the Office of Auditor General report highlights a dangerous gap. It also highlights this dangerous gap. Without proper verification, the state cannot be sure that the production figures submitted by mining companies are accurate. Eh? How would actually the state know that these production figures that are actually submitted, because our watchman has failed already. Our watchman has failed already. They're only given the summaries which haven't verified themselves, which now the watchman haven't verified, and the watchman is the Directorate of Mines. So don't think of a person, think of this department, the Directorate of Mines. So now, if, let's say for example, if production figure are wrong, then the royalty assessment are wrong as well. If the gold dug up is 100 ounces, but only 8 are reported, the state loses tax on the missing 20. So, because there were no verification, we can't just say what we get is what, you know, it's truthful. What does this mean, really, in practical terms? Stock records, sales documentations, detailed production logs were never independently verified. They were not verified. Now, one started actually to think that, would that be deliberate because there is something else going on for 3 years? The accuracy of what mining company reported could not be confirmed. And when you cannot confirm accuracy, you cannot guarantee that the taxes and royalty being paid reflect the actual gold extracted from Namibian soil. We could be cheated from our fair share. Then this is very serious, man. This is very serious, my dear listeners. So now we are talking about resources that belong to all of us. Resources that belong to all of us. You are not angry enough, I think. Eh? You guys are not angry enough. This is our resources. Yet the mechanism to protect it were left unlocked, were left just open. Eh? It was just left open. Eh? We Namibia are very nice people. We are too peaceful to the extent that to our own disadvantage, but that's not the word I want to use. Detriment to our own detriment, you know, we are so peaceful to our own detriment that we see things happening like now. We see things happening like, but we're just peaceful. We don't want to create a row. Eh? But what happened? Your wealth is being dug out and extracted out and you just say, the system that you put is not working, and you're not even taking account of those are responsible. Yeah, that's who we are. We are too peaceful, too kind, just root our minerals. It's okay. We're not that too bad. We're not doing bad compared to other countries. That's how we argue. Okay. All right. Let's get to the, now, let's look at the third character. Okay. And the third character is NAMRA, Namibia Revenue Agency. Their job is to collect the tax based on the data provided by the mines. Now, the report, the Office of Auditor General report, state that NAMRA claimed they were conducting risk assessment and tax audit on gold operations. However, when the auditors asked for evidence, my friend, you said you are doing a risk assessment and tax audit. Where is the paper? I want to see the paper. Where is the evidence? The paperwork, the report, the proof, NAMRA couldn't provide it. For 3 years, NAMRA couldn't provide it. Now, in the world of auditing, okay, in the world of auditing, small knowledge that I know, if you didn't write it down, it didn't happen. If you didn't write it down, my friend, it didn't happen. Where is the proof? Where is the report? Where is the evidence? Now, the report further notes that NAMRA did not conduct thorough tax audit on the financial account of the gold mine. So they also failed to perform transfer pricing audit. And well, this is a technical term, but it's a very important one. You know, the transfer pricing audit. They failed to perform transfer pricing audit. And as I said, not for us who are not finance people, we may not know what that is. Well, that's why I went looking it up and found what is that they failed to perform. So, and it's a very, very important. It's very, very important because it referred to transaction between related parties, like a mine selling its gold to a sister company abroad, you know, at a lower price. Now, by selling at a lower price, you're shifting profit out of Namibia. You understand? That's what it means by transfer pricing audit. I mean transfer pricing. Now, for example, if a gold mine in Namibia sells gold to its parent company abroad, okay, the price should reflect fair market value. But if that price is artificially set too low, artificially, okay, you underline the word artificially, that it was not, you should be reflecting a fair market value, but artificially set too low, profit now gets shifted out of Namibia and our country loses tax revenue. Now, think already how we started. Think already that the lack of verification, which we don't know how many gold have been produced. Okay? So think already that. And now come to this. This is also the transfer pricing is also being, it has also been, and a number has also failed to do that. So the whole thing, you don't want to create, things that aren't there. We're just reflecting on what is the report, the articles have written. But you started to imagine things that might not be there. It's kind of like, and I'm saying like, I'm not creating any conspiracy here. It's like, you know, all things, as I said earlier on, everything is left open. The door, the system that should be protecting us, it's just left open. It's completely just left open. And you wonder why. You wonder why. So, and this is one way wealth can quietly leave our borders. So without these specific audits, Namibia is vulnerable to illegal financial flows. So one of the things that we, you remember some of the things that we need to sort out, for for grading, a grey list grading. So Namibia is vulnerable to illegal financial flow when these specific audits aren't being done. Money that should be, remember, money that should be building our roads, money that should be funding our hospital, eh? And it could be, this money could be slipping through there, as I said early on, through these cracks, tax-free. Eh? Tax-free, my friend. Now, why? Sometimes when we bring you things here, it's because we see the value. We see why this is important. Now, so why this is important to you wherever you are. So this is very important. Wherever you are in this beautiful land of the brave, why do you think this is important to you? So when the state loses revenue from gold mine, for example, when a state loses from the gold mine, that is money, as I said, lost from the national purse, from the national coffer. Okay? That is less funding for healthcare, less funding for healthcare, less funding for education, infrastructure. In a developing economy like ours, every dollar counts. Every dollar counts. So this report also, one thing that you can also get from this report, it highlights a lack of coordination. The Directorate of Mines and NAMRA are supposed to work together, sharing data, cross-verifying figures, but the audit suggests they are operating in silos. Or worse, not operating effectively at all. We are a nation really, really rich in resources, yet we are struggling to collect. We are struggling to collect the rightful dues, what is due to us, from those extracting them. In the first place, we're not adding value to our minerals, but on top of that, we are even struggling to collect what is rightful ours, yeah, from those who are extracting. So it raises serious question about capacity. Seriously, do we have the skills? Yeah? Do we have the skills in these institutions, or do we need retraining or restructure? I don't know. So, but let's now debate. Let's discuss. I want to pose some question that I hope will spark a conversation before you just coming in. I see some, already trying to get to come through. Now, one, it's really a question of accountability. Who is held responsible when institutions fail? Seriously. Who is held responsible? The report identifies the failures. But what are the consequences of the officials who didn't do the job between 20 to 2023? Eh? For God's sake. So when standard operating procedures are ignored, where does the buck stop? It's not the bus. The buck stop with who? Is it the officials who failed to do their jobs? Is it the management that did not enforce compliance? Or does the responsibility go even higher? Where does the buck stop? And Namibians, really, we need to be serious. What about the mining companies themselves? Well, while the audit focuses on government failures, we must also ask whether mining operators acted ethically. Have they acted ethically? Did they report accurately? Or did they take advantage of weak oversight? Companies have a legal and moral obligation to pay their fair share. When oversight is weak, the temptation to cut corners increases. But we can't blame them. But we're asking, have they committed to their legal and moral obligation to pay their fair share? All right? And lastly, on this, before I let you come through, so, and perhaps most importantly for ordinary Namibians, for us, what service and development project could have been funded with this lost revenue? Think about the clinics that could have been built, the schools that could have been equipped, the road that could have been paved. Now, every dollar lost to weak oversight, as we have seen, is a dollar stolen from Namibian people. All right, let's go to the caller.
A very good morning. We continue picking the day.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yeah, Bill.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself? Sometimes I get wrapped up, you know, by this injustice, by this incompetence, not injustices.
No, it's not even incompetence. It's injustice. Because remember one thing is that they say treason. They are holding us.
Yeah, it's true.
Those one who are possible to collect funds and so on. And then remember one thing before I go to your question.
Yeah.
I want to. You know why we become number one attracted to investors?
Seven, my friend.
This is why everybody's coming to Namibia. We are number one. Remember one thing that you've seen. When the people know that they are getting everything with it,
yeah,
it will become, and they know that our law is lawless, and they know exactly even our position, they are so much corrupt to the core of asking you.
But can you imagine, Mandume?
A cell phone with two SIM cards, yeah.
Can you imagine for 3 years? 3 years without, you know.
Just imagine.
3 years without those proper, you know, verification.
And now you want to tell me there's nothing happened to those boss of Namla. Nothing. You see? Nothing. We not heard somebody's been suspended or somebody re-inside not doing his job. Nothing. Nothing. It will be business as usual.
Yeah. 3 years is a lot. I mean, if you tell me it was 3 months. If you are telling me 3 months or even 3 months is a lot, you know?
It's even a lot also.
Three years.
you are talking about gold.
We're talking about gold. Huh?
Come on, man. Is that not worse than the fish lotter?
Seriously. Yeah? I mean,
that's why I'm saying, these guys, they are doing it because they know, we don't know how much is our gold worth. And they know exactly our people are not interested in those because they've been told that you're eating stones. Why we don't want it? You remember the last president, listen, Peter, but he says something like that.
Yeah.
Are you going to eat it? Hey, why you don't want people to come and like, yo? And this is what is happening. Because remember one thing, if a lot of people from Namibia have been blindfolded, we don't know what is a value when it comes to gold.
Yeah.
That's why they are not interested even. They are like, when you are talking, even some of them, they are changing their radio to listen to the music.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is about your life, Major.
Yeah.
This is our life, our future generation, my friend.
You have your child sitting at home right now.
Yeah,
without no job. Yeah. You know?
And even there's a school without a space. Now the kids are not attending grade one or grade eight.
And because someone couldn't do their job properly, so that we lost the venue that could have actually improved whatever, you know?
No, my God.
That's what I'm saying, we Namibians are too peaceful and sometimes to our detrimental, you know?
Few people understand what's economy and what's going on, but a lot of people, their interests.
Yeah, that's even what Kanjengo said.
Be educated up to grade 12, but they don't know anything about your country. And it's not always happening.
It's not even grade 12. You can be in the parliament as a lawmaker and you don't even know.
Exactly. That's why they are not even making noise of it. There is even no opposition going on. Nothing. They are all quiet.
Yeah.
But it's
one thing you're looking at it and said, you know, when you analyze this stand and you kind of like, is this serious? And why is, as you said, why is nobody really making noise of this? If it was not, if we didn't bring it up, if it was not now, we didn't publish it, if we didn't publish it, like, you know, a newspaper didn't bring this up, that means it could be just a report of the Auditor General, just received by just those like who should take care of this. And then that's it. And that's it.
Just end up there. I'm telling you, nobody will, that's why I'm saying, there's even an opposition party making noise of it. No, nothing. What did they tell us? They just tell us like, okay, you cannot tell me that the person, a woman being, when a elephant, what, all those nonsense. But things which are more common, which are really contributing to this country, me and you, which are talking about even school, we're talking about hospital, we're talking about even soccer field, which we want to build now.
This is the resources being looted. Being looted. Looted. Eh? Resources for 3 years. Being looted.
And now you want to tell me this, nothing, at a normal, nothing will happen to them. At a mine, there's not even going to be a penalty or nothing. Or sometimes even revoke their license because you overrated the law. And there are more people interested in to come and invest in that mine because we are going to take their license away from you. And you may live in Namibia. There are people who are coming in. But nothing will see happening. That's what I'm saying. Our country, and this is a thing which I'm saying. Our law, they are going to broke Namibians for progress. Because remember one thing. We, if we are having something, then we say, no, guys, if you are not sanctioning this mine, then we might find even a potential people who can come and mine. Because there are a lot of people who can even just post and even watch. Even at the social media, there are people who want to come and mine, they will come straight running.
Mm.
But nothing will happen in Namibia. I'm telling my brother, I'm telling you can cut my head off.
Yeah.
There will be nothing happening if you are talking about accountability. Nothing will happen to Namla. Nothing will happen to that mine.
Yeah, I mean, are people in the directorate of mines. That's those are the people that should be, the head should be rolling. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My friend, no. The thing is that, serious in the media, when you are talking about corruption and what, I don't know what kind of ICC we have. Yeah. Because these are things which they are supporting already. Not to wait for people, and I'm always even get angry when you come to the radio talking like nice things as a director.
Mm.
And they say, no, guys, if you say corruption to somewhere, where come and report it. What about the thing which you can see yourself, like now?
Yeah.
How far are they with that? Hey, how far with this mind?
Mm.
That's the problem. And then they are getting, you feel people, okay, now, remember even when I opened the books, that's why sometimes, when I even buy a newspaper, I get angry more.
Mm.
And then, like, maybe it was better for me not to buy it, so I can have a good weekend. Now, in the front page of one of the newspaper, there's a, Namibian collaborating with China in desalination plant. Now, guess what? 70% for Chinese.
Yeah.
And now we are having 30. And I'm more like, what happened to 50? What? It was 51 or something. Whoever come to, I'm like, come on. How long are we going to be able to pretend that we are not corrupt?
Yeah.
Thing which we see every day, and then it's making us sad, man. As a person you like, you are cut off from not to do anything. Your hands are bent tight by your own system.
Mm.
But you are trying to get where you Etienne is suffering. But because of the government, which is really not incompetent enough.
Yeah.
These things are happening every day. You cannot tell me for 3 years you are failing. Yeah?
Yeah. That's serious. It's honestly serious.
I want also to establish, I think if we can have a committee. A committee which has got nothing to do with the government.
Yeah. It's something I've been really thinking that why don't we have there are civil societies, there are civil society organizations. It's only that they are not fully equipped. Much of the people who get there are hungry, and once they are, the government give them some incentives, they shut up their mouth.
You know what I want also to. In the mine, I think we don't have any levy. If we can have a levy with a established committee with oversee government, anything which went wrong, then they're coming in. Because this is whatever you called ICC. It's not really working for us. Not at all. I don't see anything why we even have a budget for it. Even like now, if it was not Al Jazeera, peace is supposed to still going on now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us, we don't know what was happening in the fishery. Anyway, Mike, let me give other people a chance.
All right.
But sorry, these things are making us angry.
Definitely. All right.
Have a good weekend, man.
Oh, yeah, okay. Same to you, man.
All right.
Yeah. We could have an interview, coming up immediately. I'm just crossing to Winter quickly for an interview that's coming up, and probably we come back later on. So, just quickly, stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economics segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tero ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Ko nongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doini nawa nune udo otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendife nawa nukumona oijamoili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion.
Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Okay, good morning. I was just confirming that we are live. So let me quickly just greet the listeners and introduce you. So a very good morning to you, beloved Eagle FM listeners. You are tuned to into a special interview with the NBL's marketing director, Mr. Dries, who will be taking us through just some of the things that they have been up to, especially in regards to the creative industry, which is an industry that is really underrated in the country, and it's one of those things we like to see happening. Mr. Dries, welcome to Eagle FM.
Hi, good morning to you, Eleni, and all the listeners.
Okay. So, Mr. Dries, last night I was able to witness the launch of your continued support for the Savannah Comedy Hour, or what used to be the Comedy Hour in the beginning. So just to start off, could you briefly take us back to the beginning of this partnership and how long your company has been supporting the Savannah Comedy Hour, and what exactly inspired your decision to come on board as a sponsor for this particular venture?
Yeah, no, thank you. Well, the Comedy Hour, you know, since it's launched in 2021, it has just grown as a platform, and it became a launchpad for so many comedians in Namibia,
yes,
you know, to showcase their trade. And if you think about the Savannah brand, you know, there's such a synergy with this platform. Our brand is also rooted in humor. Why? Because humor brings people together. You know, humor helps us to see the lighter side of life.
Yes.
And sometimes it just energizes us, you know, to get through what can be a difficult day. So for us, it was just a perfect fit to expand, you know, this opportunity for Namibian comedians to showcase their talent, but also for us as public, you know, to join in and to have a good laugh at ourselves and at the world at large.
No, that's amazing, especially with how the creative industry is doing currently in the country and worse. So when it comes to comedy, it's not a lot of people that you meet and you actually say someone is doing comedy as a career. So for a brand like yours to associate themselves to this, I would just like to know from a brand's perspective, what does sponsoring a platform like Savannah Comedy Hour mean for your company, and how does it align with some of your brand values and identity?
No, it's a great question. You know, I think we believe that this sponsorship reflects what Savannah as a brand stands for.
Yes.
You know, premium experiences for our consumers, authentic engagement, telling it as it is, but also for creating unforgettable moments.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, yes, it's about enjoying a good cider, a good Savvy, a good Savannah, but it's also about enjoying life together, you know, bringing people together,
yes,
and have some laughs along the way.
Yes, definitely. And I can testify to that. A lot of people came together and a lot of people had so much fun together, and it was something beautiful to see. I have attended some events in the past, comedy events in the past, but this was something brilliant to see, and it was nice to see them doing it so comfortably because of what you guys are also enabling them to do through this partnership.
Yeah, no, thanks, Eleni. You know, as I said, you know, at Savannah, we're more than just a cider.
Mm-hmm.
We are about these moments, or creating these moments that uplift, that connect and bring people together through humor. Laughter is at the heart of our brand, and that's why we proudly sponsor this Comedy Hour in Namibia, because it is a platform that celebrates local talent. It does strengthen our communities, and it does create the kind of memorable experiences,
mm-hmm,
that define the Savannah spirit, you know, but also inspires the Namibian nation.
Yes, definitely. So yesterday you mentioned something very important, and as we were chatting, you mentioned about the, you know, just having good times, being safe and all that. And obviously we know this is a beverage that has an alcohol percentage to it. So what kind of audience are you hoping to connect with through this particular sponsorship? Are there particular communities or demographics that your brand is looking to engage? Because now, let's say the Comedy Hour also brings visibility to the brand to a certain extent, right? So what are those that you are trying to connect with?
Yeah, so I think, you know, our connection is with like-minded people, people, mm-hmm, that can go out, have a good time, socialize, enjoy themselves, but enjoy themselves responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where our brand range comes in. We've got a Savannah 00 offering, and at all of our events, we really like to advocate for people to enjoy these events responsibly. And if they go out and they need to drive back home,
yes,
they'd rather have a 00. So responsible drinking, getting people back home to their loved ones in a safe manner, very important to us as a brand. And when people do decide, you know, that they're not driving, you know, we ask them to make use of the designated driver if they prefer to consume any other of the brands,
yes,
that might contain a small alcohol percentage. Or, you know, like we did last night, we will partner with other companies that can get them home safely. And last night we were very fortunate to partner with Lifa, which then offered our patrons a discounted rate to get them home. So I think responsible consumption at the heart of the brand, making sure that we bring people home safely,
yes,
but also bring them back, you know, to our events for another laugh.
No, that's amazing to hear, Mr. Dries. This question is a bit more for encouraging other companies, other entities like yours. Obviously, you cannot speak for them, but I would just like to know, why would you encourage other companies to invest in platforms such as the Savannah Comedy Hour or the creative industry in a nutshell?
Yeah, I think as you rightfully said, you know, I can't speak on behalf of other companies or dictate to them what to do. But I think, you know, the creative space is a very good space to invest in, to engage in. You know, we are progressing nation. We are growing. We've got a young population. And creativity is what's going to drive our growth in future.
Yes.
So the more we can invest into our people and create opportunities to grow in the space, the better for all of us.
Awesome. We are getting to the end of this interview, but I would like to know, what are your hopes for the future of this partnership and the growth of this particular show that was launched to continue yesterday, or rather last night?
Well, my hope is very simple, and it is for this platform to continue to thrive, because I think if it thrives, you know, we will empower Namibians through laughter. We will bring the lighter side of life to the table, and this becomes motivating and inspiring, and it just keeps us going. It is the fuel to drive us forward as individuals and as a nation.
Yes.
And may that long continue.
Okay, so we have an audience right now. People are listening from the radio, from our website, as well as from our app. I would just like to know, for those that are listening, what message would you like to share about your brand and your continued support for local entertainment with the listeners?
Well, I think, you know, last night we've clearly communicated our commitment through the sponsorship of the Comedy Hour.
Yes.
So for us right now, that is our commitment, that we will continue to explore opportunities that are relevant to our brand, that are relevant to our consumers, and that are value adding. So stick to the brand, stick to us, and keep smiling, because that is the most important thing. You know, let's never lose hope, and let's stay positive, and keep on growing together.
And you know, you said keep smiling, and I smiled right on cue. It's like someone needed to tell me how to just smile. So are there any last words you would like to say about your brand, about your initiative, perhaps how people can learn more about your brand and just stay connected to everything that you are doing and everything that you have going on?
Yeah, I think, you know, people can visit the various social media platforms. We've got a presence on most of them, but also, you know, engage with the Comedy Hour platforms. There you will find all the dates of upcoming events and where you can come and join and share a good laugh with us. So please, I welcome you. Go on, have a look, and engage with us on those platforms. We love to hear from you and to engage with you.
Okay, and just to mention those platforms, listeners, the platforms are Savannah Comedy Hour on social media, or rather Savannah Namibia on social media. So that is where you can find the information. Thank you so much, Mr. Dries, for allowing us to have this conversation with you.
Thank you, Lenny, and thank you to you and your listeners. May you have a blessed weekend.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Okay, dear listeners, so that was an interview with Mr. Dries from the NBL, representing the Savannah Namibia, who is a sponsor of, you know, a comedy show that happens in the heart of Windhoek every month, and on some instances they also go around the country. So if they come to your town, be sure to pitch up and have a good laugh. I can guarantee you one thing, you will have a good laugh. And from me, Hileni Inane, that's it. Until the next time you catch me on the airwaves of Eagle FM, we are going to revert back to Michael Oshoveli, who will be continuing with Unpacking the Day.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona na Monica ko Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. And thank you, Helen and Heleni. And make sure that you attend that. Okay. So that was Helen, Heleni, having an interview. Yeah, no, thanks for that. And welcome back. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. It's part of Unpacking the Day. So welcome back. Our time, it's about 17 minutes past the hour of 9. Yeah, so you are most welcome. So we get back to where we were. And if you want to also comment on that or react on that, you're most welcome to do that as well. We were looking at the... Yeah, maybe just to summarize what we were talking about, the Office of Auditor General report, the Office of Auditor General report reveals a broken chain of oversight. So the Directorate of Mines failed to verify what was being mined, and NAMRA failed to prove that it was auditing the tax compliance of those mines, according to the article that we are unpacking from the Villages article by Dwight Wayne. By Dwight Links. Dwight Wayne. Okay. So I nearly make him the Rock, you know? Yeah. So yeah, now the result. A compromised revenue system, really, and a potential losses for the Namibian people. So, and the path forward, as suggested by the auditors, requires a systemic audit program specifically for high risk industry like mining. So, yeah, we need better cooperation between agencies. And most importantly, a return to the basic, verifying data, keeping records and ensuring that every ounce of gold, contribute to our national, development. So, yeah. And, if you would like to get back to that issue, to our first item and also the interview that actually just happened now, you most welcome. 083-366-091, 083-366-091. So, all right. 083-366-091. Our time, 20 minutes past the hour of 9.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, The Eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omotiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kodara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. So before getting to our second story, okay, before we look into our second story this morning, let's maybe look at a quick roundup of today's top industrial stories brought to you by the villagers. So here's what we need to know today, you know, from the industrial brief. Now, the first story today is the High Om community is taking the Namibian government to court over Etosha National Park. Excuse me. Now, the High Om Association, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, High Om Association has filed a lawsuit. Okay, let's quickly get to the caller and get back to this later. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, and yourself?
We are better.
All right, that's good to hear.
What topic are you talking about?
The topic that we have covered so far, it is that it's a topic about gold, ne? You know?
Yes.
Okay, let me just actually go, just go through that. No, what we're looking at is that the office, there's a report by the Office of Auditor General. That report is actually showing that NAMRA and the Directorate of Mines have failed actually to verify what was being mined. You understand? NAMRA also failed to prove that that it was now failed to prove that there was an audit done on the mining. Okay, so what happened then? It leaves an opportunity where the mining company actually can produce, you know, more than what is being reported, and that is not recorded. That's become a problem. It's compromised our revenue system. You understand?
Yes, because people are just mining. It happened. It's just the same with fishing. Those fishing companies, they are coming in Namibia.
Yeah.
When they are coming to fish in the in our oceans.
Mm.
If you ask Namibian ourselves, we don't like our resources. We are not tightening our supervision.
Yeah.
And also people who are given power, who are given that mandate to guide those people who are mining.
Yeah.
Them there are also problems.
Yeah.
Them there are also problems. Because if you don't have strict measures or you don't have measures in place to make sure that what people are mining is the truth that they are mining. If they are exceeding their mining whatsoever, the license. Because I know for sure those mines, they are not closing. They are just working 24 hours. And people, they are shipping the minerals that some of us, we don't know. I even heard it was last of last day, there was a mine, I think in the Rongo region. And those Chinese, when they are loading those stones, we don't know whether it's only zinc or whatsoever. And I heard they were loading, their truck, they are always full of stones, and they are shipping to their country,
yeah.
Meaning that there was no proper supervision there. People are mining what is not what is supposed to mine.
Mm. Mm. And imagine this exactly has taken place for 3 years, you know, yes. Without proper, you know, supervision, as you're actually saying. And yes. And what that's given, it's given really an opportunity for whatever,
and,
you know.
And also if you put lazy people and those who are not having, those who are having, let me say, those who are, like to be bribed, it's yeah. a problem. Because if you put someone there and they is also accepting bribe, it will be a problem. Because if me, I'm supervising there,
mm.
and they will give me, because I remember there was a time, if I give you this scenario on it,
yeah.
That one is this side of fishing companies. You know, we used to see those that we used to go in the oceans.
Yeah.
You can go there. And then maybe if he is a supervisor for those boats or whatsoever, those people from fisheries,
mm.
sometimes if me, I'm from the fishery company and I'm the one who was given that part to control,
yeah.
to make sure that boat whatsoever is catching the right fish. So if I came, because I know for sure some people are given also bribe, He can be given even just under the table or something. Yeah. Then
to turn a blind eye.
But there is just fooling people that they are doing their job, but they are not doing job. Mm. Those people who are tasked to make sure that the mineral they are not gone for free, because it's like you are giving bonus. You give me to mine maybe this different type this amount of tons.
Yeah.
Then I will just exceed, because I know those people who are there, they don't know nothing, and they are lazy to do things.
Yeah, exactly. What we heard is that people who should be verifying we should be following these procedures, they only take what the mining company has, the summary that they get from the mining company, you know, which then they are not actually following the standard operating procedure. They ignore those. Yeah.
They ignore, because there's no people who supposed to make sure that those people, they just put things on the paper, but to implement it, the policy itself. If you see those mines, sometimes even the wage agreement,
yeah.
they are not paying their employees. They are just saying, okay, now we send this what they are going to get paid this amount of money.
Mm.
But imagine the mine is not even closing. Those people, even the tax itself, the way they used to pay tax. Imagine a person maybe is having a company from China and they used to mine here.
Yeah.
He's even paying a 2 billion per year. You think two billion is nothing. A person that company can make times, even it can go up to 20 billion per year, but he's paying even like 1 billion. You think that one is enough?
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Hmm? So, but then who should take that well, last time I was asking, where does the buck stop? Is it the official who failed to do their job, or is it the management that did not enforce the compliance, or does the responsibility go even maybe higher?
It's just a lack of supervision. Let me tell you, it's supposed to have a stage. You know, when you are having a machinery there in a workshop,
mm.
and you have, let me say, maybe say it's an assembling.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that every stage, just from the paperwork, from the mine itself, from the main entrance for the mine, and then from there where they are loading,
yeah.
where they are loading, it's also a problem. If there is no supervision there,
mm.
who's supposed to say this is not what you're supposed to mine?
Mm.
If me, I'm having my company, and then I see that these people, they are sleeping, I can even mine what is not our supposed to mine. Because if I go to the sea there, and we are having our vessel say that I have to load those things.
Yeah.
If there's no supervision, if there's no person who don't have experience, because sometimes it's just a lack of experience,
mm.
and people who are being taught they are not being well employed, they said, no, we cannot pay you because I know for sure there are people who study. Instead, a lot who are the degrees that the government cannot even employ them because they are they are they cannot afford to pay them. If you put a cheap person to control things there,
yeah.
because sometimes it's just Kanakamem. If you put Kanakamem a person there,
yeah.
a person who don't know nothing, who will supervise that? Who will supervise those people when they are loading things in their vessel?
Yeah.
So meaning, you are just load. Even at night, those trucks, if there is no control, people are just mining the way they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see that this in Namibia, that's why people, sometimes I used to wonder that, why these people, they like to come and invest in Namibia. They want to come and invest in Namibia, want to come to do business in Namibia. Because they know, on top of that, they'll get bonus. They say, no, we are coming here to give job opportunity, but our people, they are suffering. Some, they become disabled. Some, even in the mine area, your lifespan will not be long because people, they were supposed to pay a lot of money.
Mm.
Because there is a risk.
Yeah.
There is a risk. Our people, they are just suffering. I mean, I don't have a problem with our politicians, our mothers and our fathers who are in parliament. People who are given job. And also, our leader also, we must also try to make a follow up. If you see that there's a flying there, you must also try to go there yourself and
yeah.
check the situation on the ground. If you are just there, let me say maybe you are in your house and you give it dust and then you just stay sleeping there. You find even in the field, nothing has been done. But people are just used to go there and they stand. They cannot do anything because they know for sure you are just there sleeping.
Yeah. All right, man.
So for sure, Namibian, we really need for it. Because I know for sure our children who are coming
yeah.
after we die,
yeah.
maybe 2070 there.
That's even far. You know, given that
they will not even find a diamond. You see, even this mine for Tume Bie,
yeah.
they will not find anything, my friend. They will find everything is gone.
Mm.
People are mining. Some are becoming in Namibian friendly because they want to mineral.
Yeah.
Because they know for sure Namibian they don't have strict measures.
Yeah,
otherwise we will not finish talking because this topic is a more complex matter.
It's true. You're right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll go tomorrow.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming through, yeah?
All right, sir. Thank you, Edgar.
All right. Mm. Yeah, something that really, well, it may not be scientifically proven in terms of to say, you know, maybe investors are coming to Namibia. They're attracted here. Because they're telling each other, you know, it's easy to do business in Namibia. The laws are not strict, you know, and that's why they are flocking here. So he mentioned it, and I think Mandume also alluded to something like that. So yeah, it may sound, you know, it may be something that sounds, not significant, but it could be, who knows, maybe people flocking here because want to find to mine in Namibia because the laws here are really relaxed. You know, it's not in the other countries that it's either this or that or this, and you have actually people enforcing the law. So it could be. Someone mentioned that again. So the caller mentioned that. I think it's an area one also have to think, I mean, to think about. If you wanna, you know, add your opinion on that topic, as you said, this is a very complex, topic. Let's make it more simple. And it's quite simple as well in terms of what we're talking about. So do come through. Our telephone number is 08-3366-091. 08-3366-091. So if you want to give your opinion on that. All right. And there was also an interview by Hileni. If it's something that caught your attention there and you want to comment on it, you're most welcome too. You're also welcome as well. All right. I was just going through the industry brief that brought to you by the villager.
and I was talking about the HIOM association has filed a lawsuit with the with the higher court, claiming the Etosha National Park and the nearby Mageti West Farms are the ancestral land. So they say that their people were unfairly stripped of this land way back in 1907 and again in 1954 during the Namibia colonial period. So now, here is something that might surprise you, that the land alone at Etosha is valued at a massive 2.8 trillion Namibian dollar. You know, the Mangeti Western Farms add another 95 million to that figure. So the Legal Assistance Center says the community wants the court to recognize what happened to them and to award fair competition, compensation for more than 100 years of being pushed aside and dispossessed. So they are also arguing that the government hasn't done enough to fix past wrong, and that this goes against both Namibia's own constitution and international agreement the country has signed, including the UN Declaration on the Right of Indigenous People. So that's the first story. The second story, moving on to energy news. Namibia produced more than half of its own electricity in December last year. Wow. If I had that, I would have that boom. You know, that's great news. New figures show that just over 51% of the power supplied to the country came from local generation. Now, that's a turnaround from November, when we were relying more on import than local productions. So that's really a turnaround. So where did all that local power come from? Now, the Rakana Power Station was the big player here. So it contributed nearly 80% of all locally generated electricity. So independent power producer chipped in about 19%, while the Omburu solar plant added just over 2%. So there's also diesel plant at Anixas, and the Van Eck power station didn't contribute much during this period. Now, these numbers come from the Namibian statistic agencies. All right, and finally, the head of heads up for our livestock farmers. You know, the agricultural ministry is launching an awareness campaign next week about foot and mouth disease, or the FMD. Now it's running from the 16th to the 20th of March, and it's happening because our neighbors, South Africa and Botswana, have been reporting cases of the disease. So the veterinary service team will be meeting with their farmer across the several regions, including Omaheke, Ochodonjupa, Oshikoto, Kunene, and Taras, and Hardap. So they will be sharing important information on how to prevent and control FMD, so, and how farmers and authorities can work together to keep the disease out of Namibia. So that's your industrial brief for today, brought to you by the villager. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Buen dia, familia.
Como está, man?
Bom, obrigado. Hoje é sexta-feira, estamos bom.
Ah, estou fixe, estou fixe.
Ok, ok.
Uhum.
Yeah, things are coming up now. You know, this the Etosha community.
Yeah.
How do you call them? Their tribe.
What is that? The one I was just talking about. The high home community.
Yeah, why they are not also included on this Nama whatever conflict going on?
They are not Namas.
Yes, but if you think deeper, you go deeper and close your eyes.
Mm.
This might be the first people to come to allocate this all of this this area, but they never been mentioned in anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm.
Yes, they should also be part of this Name whatever, because they are the compound of these places.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there was also a small issue going on the other side about the Mbanjas and the Ngumbis and stuff like that. They are fighting for the Kunene River, but
yeah.
But it's the same thing with this one. So doesn't mean if you were born in the river today, you are the owner of the river. No, you fight all the way before you.
The owner of the river.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's something like that. They think if they are the owner of, anyway, where they were born, like today, they want to take over.
Yeah, yeah.
You must follow the history. But where I want to go to the desalination plant.
Okay, go on. Mm, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think we don't have to be stressed about this water. Yeah, because Namibia is having 30% and China Angopolo, it is a mine. I think it's a mine, something like that. Which are on 70%. Now I think about where the
is it something that we have covered ourselves? Or is there a story? Is a story somewhere? Yeah.
No, it's in the newspaper, but I saw Mando mention it there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I just want to have a bit of because otherwise we'll be confused and get stressed for nothing. So what I want to say is so this is the water. Now, even though we have we own 30%, China own we own 30%, and China own 70%. But if you think deeper, who's benefiting?
Hmm.
It's us, Namibians.
Okay.
Yes, I think we need really to think about deeper than that, because this is not like something going out. It's like they put more money than us. They put more money because they have money. That thing is very expensive to create. That desalination plant is very expensive. Now, we're gonna have water. Now we're gonna create a lot of, if we sharp up our mind, we're gonna create a lot of activity through this water, agriculture, and people are gonna might even have a cheaper, better price when it comes to water.
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's like, what is that, it's like, you know, only manyaye FIFA, ongo be hayanjwa, yanjwa, ongo be, we pangon shinda shoe, ashiken shinda no, ongo boyo omo oyo harimisa yo muhaku for machine oriye na muwa paise oyo anje ngobire yo talise ngobe.
Yeah, so well, as long as yongo boto unangu ulifirondishi working to keep it healthy and all that, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, that's something different. Yeah, so but I just allow you to make a comment on that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Because I don't want us to get confused. You say maybe it's money going out. No, is the Chinese, they put more money to create this kind of this plant. We don't have enough money. We put 30%. But who's benefiting is Namibians. Because these things.
Are you sure about that? Do you know what they are getting in return?
My brother.
Maybe they are getting a mine. Maybe they are getting a mine. You know, completely we give you a mine, and you do this for us.
Yes, let us get to this water first. We create our agriculture, then we can argue when you have everything.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah?
Thank you.
Mm. So that's why we were talking about the EITN, the EITI, you know, where then when the transactions are done, those become actually public.
that we know exactly what is the transaction about, you know. So we say, well, China put in this much, but who is benefiting? But you never know. But maybe China is given a mine, you know. Yeah, so, you know, you never know. So, yeah, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So there's so many things that we have covered so far. So please, you can comment to any of those. All right, we'll be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
All right, that's right. A very good morning to you, and you're listening to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, yeah, let's move on. So we have so many things to talk about. But you're most welcome, actually, to come through and decide where you want to contribute. All right. In this segment, we're looking at a story, you know, about a town that should be thriving, according to, you know, that should be thriving, a town that should be growing, you know, but instead, a town that is actually crying out for help. Now, we're talking about Rundu. Okay, there's a story in today's edition of The Village by Anacleta Haikera. So, talking about Rundu, and I want to just looking at it, because it reflects so many, as much as it reflects, it's not about the town itself, but it's how do we do business, all right, as a country, how do we do business? It's the second largest urban center in our beloved country. So, and home to over 100,000 residents. So a place of great promise, you know, along the, you know, Kavango River. So you are next to the river, should be, you know, an opportunity there. But what happened when promise meet neglect? What happened when people flock to a city or to a town that cannot be able to, you know, to catch them, to maintain them? Now, this is one of the story-making headlines in today's edition of The Villager, and this is a story by Anacleta Haikera. Now, all right, I want you to picture this, okay? Just think about this. You know, you are in Windhoek, okay? The road, most of the road, maybe 90% of your road are paved. The malls are busy. Water runs from the, you know, from your taps. It's not that you know, now and then maybe you have inconvenience, but most of the time your waters are running. Electricity working, you know, and healthcare is available. You can easily go to any hospitals or clinics and everything is working. Now imagine traveling about 400 kilometers to north to Rundu, okay? Now, when you arrive, you find a town where the population has been growing by more than 5% every year. More than by 5%. Now, family keeps arriving every day, you know, every day, hoping to find a better life. But when they get there, what do they actually find? So when they get there, what do they actually find? They find a town that is overcrowded. Town that is very overcrowded. They see a road, you know, falling apart because they have not been maintained. The sewage system cannot handle the demand. The water supply is unreliable and often comes and goes. You know, the hospital is so overwhelmed that some patients end up actually sleeping on the floor. Now, and jobs, when it comes now to jobs, well, jobs are very hard to find in a town like that. Now, this is the story of Rundu. So that is the story of Rundu. And it's not, we're just focusing on it because that's the story that we have in today's edition. But this is not just the story of Rundu. So the population is growing fast, and this is happening in any other places than just Rundu. But development is not keeping up. Development is not keeping up. Now we need to ask ourselves, how did we end up in these situations? And more importantly, how do we fix it? All right? So now, let me put some numbers, okay? Let me put some numbers in front of you, because I love numbers. I always tell you, numbers tells the truth. Numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. So Rundu is now home to more than 100,000 people. And this is not a village anymore, okay? So this is a city. This is a town, you know, a city that serves as an economic hump, economic center for the entire Kavango region and even past part of the Zambezi. Now, people come here seeking opportunities. They come here seeking education. They come here seeking healthcare, and they come here seeking hope. They come to Rundu seeking hope. Now, but here's the problem. The town is now at more than 5% annually. It's growing at more than 5% annually. Do you know what that means in real terms? It means that the population doubles roughly 14 years. It doubles. Now, between 2010 and today, Rundu added like 10,000 of people, 10,000 of new residents. Now, and yet, now the big problem is here, the infrastructure. So the road, the water pipes, the sewage system, the clinics, they remain stuck in a different era. So they remain stuck. They are actually in a different era. So we had in the article, we have some resident like Martin Kudumo actually painted as a picture that he speaks of neighborhood still waiting for proper roads. He speaks of sewage system that fail repeatedly. So he speaks of water supply that is anything but reliable. And around the town, informal settlements continue to spread like wildfire. You know, these are not planned developments. These are not planned developments. These are community forming out of necessity, not design. And when community form without planning, problem multiplies. So, and talking of problems, you know, now let us also talk about something that every leader must really pay attention to, that we are not paying attention in. We are not paying enough attention to. Unemployment. Eh? Unemployment. The Namibian Statistic Agency tells us that the Kavango East region has an unemployment rate of roughly 52%. 52%. But wait, it gets worse. Youth unemployment exceeds 60% in Kavango East. If you calculate with the population, 6 out of 10 young people in Rundu cannot find work. 6 out of 10 young people in Rundu cannot find work. So let's get to the call up quickly. Good morning. I give you 3 minutes.
thank you. I'm begging.
You know, no, I'm giving you one. I'm giving you one.
You know the Kavango problem. The problem is the other side.
Yeah.
The other side, I think the system is too slow. People are in poverty. People are, they prefer to come here to live in this side. That's why the population is going too fast.
Yeah.
You know, so the hospital without medications. The road without their road. You know, it's very, very stressful that side. That's why now the population is there growing very fast because of the other population which are, they prefer themselves. Say, no.
Yeah.
I don't be put myself in this kind of system. Let me go to the other system.
Yeah, you're right.
It's more productive. Yes, it's more productive. That's why now that thing is growing very fast.
Yeah, all right. No, thank you for that information, yeah?
All right.
Yeah, that's also true. Neighbors also contribute to that. So they think about the young men, or woman, sorry, who finishes grade 12 with dreams in their eyes, you know? Where are dreams? Are dreams in their eyes or in their head? Okay, with their dreams in their head, all right? They look around Rundu, and what do they see? So what do they see? Most of those who are employed, you know, those who are employed work in what is called elementary occupation. So, and this is also in the article itself. Domestic work, small scale farming, you know, informal trading on the street corners, and these are not careers. They're not careers. These are survival mechanisms. These are survival mechanisms. These are not jobs that build futures. So these are jobs that merely put food on the table today, that can put food on the table today. So now the question is, where are the factories? Where are the offices? Where are the industries that should be absorbing this growing workforce? They're simply not there. They're simply not there. So, and without formal employment, what happens? So without formal employment, then what happened to these young people? So they grow frustrated. They lose hope. Some turn to substance. Some turn to crime. And some simply pack up and leave. Those who may leave, they may draining Rundu now of its own most valuable resources. You know, it's human capital. Maybe those who are leave are those who are qualified in something, and they leave because they don't see hope. I ask you, what is the cost of 60% youth unemployment? What is the cost? What does it mean for a town when more than half of its young people have no stake in the economy? You have your young people have no stake in the local economy. And people, my people, my dear listeners, this is not just statistics. And this is why I keep saying I love numbers. So, but these are not just statistics. These are our brothers, you know, our sisters, our children. These are the future of our nation and sitting idle. These are people sitting idle. So, the article also talked about the infrastructure situation because this is where the crisis actually becomes visible. Now, the Rundu Town Council is broke. No, it is broke. Not just struggling. They are not just struggling. They are broke, but genuinely financially crippled. Okay? Now, how did this happen? You know, I mean, from the article, partly because residents cannot pay their municipal bill. When people are unemployed, and this is a system. Think of this way, you know, and sometimes we're looking at this in different ways. So when people are unemployed, they cannot pay for services. when they cannot pay, the council cannot collect revenue. When the council cannot collect revenue, it cannot maintain infrastructure. And so the cycle deepens.
You have 1 minute. Good morning.
Good morning, Inigo.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm okay.
I'm going to give you 1 minute.
Yeah, if Kavango is, you see, there is a liver region where is the liver, and why we are not just doing what putting up canal.
We can't hear you properly. Just speak up a little bit loud. Yeah.
They put up a canal, a canal.
Yeah.
And they do what the gardening and then so on along with the canal there. You could not create jobs for Kavango because we are just importing food from South Africa. But if this we produce in Kavango.
Yeah.
How much job opportunity is it create?
Yeah, that it should be a basket, food basket for Namibia. The Kavango region should be basket food for Namibia.
Yeah, what we need there is just to put up what the infrastructure, like a canal, and the electricity, and the road. We must have a road there.
You see the other things, when you say electricity, you know the green schemes there, that's one thing that they are complaining about, that the electricity is too much. It was costing about $1 million in a month, spending about $1 million on electricity. So.
Because the side of the government, if the government is starting to not subsidize its people, how can people could afford that huge, that higher price of electricity?
Yeah.
We must subsidize.
Yeah.
The government should subsidize. Or can come up with the electricity or this
solar energy.
And then also we are having a neighbor like this Angola there is nearby. By even buying a diesel to use it for the irrigation, this pump water pump machine to pump for irrigate garden, it will be cheaper than what we are just forcing our people to buy very expensive diesel. Angola is nearby.
Yeah, you have come towards the end of the program. So I was just going to allow you to have 1 minute. Yeah. So, but let's do that next time, much earlier.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
All right. That's the story of. I mean, we haven't covered all the things that that the article covered. Yeah. Maybe because there are also economic implications, there are also other issues like political implications that we could have actually look at. Yeah. And social implications as well. So, yeah. But, in a nutshell, what I can say that Rundu is growing fast than its development. More than 5% annually population growing has overwhelmed infrastructure, services, and also the job market as well. So the town has over 100,000 residents, but the roads, water, sewage, and other healthcare facilities cannot keep up. It cannot keep up. So unemployment is at a crisis level. It's one of the highest unemployment in the country. 52% overall unemployment and over 60% youth unemployment represent not just statistic, but lost potential. You know, it represents that lost potential and frustrated dreams. So most employed residents work in elementary occupation with little prospect for advancement. I mean, if you're a domestic workers, you know, what would be the advancement in there? So the municipal council is financially constrained. Unpaid bills from a resident means no revenue for infrastructure investment. So, and this create a circle of underdevelopment then that feed on itself. So, yeah. And, well, that's bring us to the end. I think that's bring us today to the end of our, of this week episode of unpacking today. And let me thank all of you, those who follow this program, who are part of this, who participate in this program. Thank you for listening. And I'll leave you in the hands of Tate France coming up with Kuthamosha. It's a Friday morning. Have a good Friday. Let's see each other tomorrow around 11 to 1 o'clock. We will be on Mind Matters. So from me, Marco Chevalier, have a very great weekend. Don't do what I wouldn't do. And what David would warn you, don't touch other people's people. All right? So from me, Marco Chevalier, have a great weekend.